Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
So I've read you that scripture from John 14 where it tells us that Jesus has gone to prepare a home for us. Some translations say it's a room, it speaks about houses, but I like this translation, the Living Bible, because it says many homes. Amen. It just speaks of something different. So heaven is definitely our home. Heaven is our home. We are not meant to stay on this earth. We are being prepared on the earth for an eternal destiny, for heaven, where everything is being laid out and prepared for us. But besides belonging to a natural home and having a home in heaven, we also have a spiritual home. Paulette already alluded to that tonight, wherever she finds herself. She was here a moment ago, on that side now. That's how we roll. We have a spiritual home. We have an eternal dwelling that's being prepared for us. But church is our spiritual home. Amen. And this is home for us. I mean, I find myself as being on staff. I'm often more here than I am in my natural home. But I feel as home here as I do in my natural home. And church is not just for attending. This could have been a point tonight. Why didn't I make it a point? Church is not just for attending, but for belonging. And I loved what Paulette said tonight, because she said, you know, home is not like a hotel, and church is not like a hotel where we have everything laid out for us and we don't play our part. You see, when we belong, we have a part to play. When we belong, there's works of service for everyone to perform. Amen? And that is the joy that we get in belonging, is that we are part of what is taking place within a spiritual home. I have an anonymous quote, and it's in your notes. It says, it takes hands to build a house, but only hearts can build a home. And so your title tonight finally is Lessons My Father Taught Me About Belonging to a Home. I've been on this journey since 1974, and I guess that would make it 44 years. And it just feels like the other day, you know. When I was a young Christian and people used to tell me, oh, I've been saved for 3 years, I used to think, oh, 3 years? That's amazing. Well, look at it now. 44 years, and my father has taught me many, many lessons. And the first thought I have this evening is, home is where love lives. Home is where love lives. You often see people on Instagram or posters and it says, love lives here. It's absolutely true. Because in John 15, from verse 9 in the Message Bible, Jesus is teaching and he says, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourself at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Jesus says, I've kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. You know, a spiritual home where love lives is a very welcoming home. I was never part of a church, but I've heard people say this in the olden days, that because we got saved in a hippie revival era, where all the hippies were coming into church barefoot by the droves, by the providence of God. It's just like a miraculous revival in Cape Town. And we were part of that. Girls coming with their see-through blouses. Jeans were torn, not because they were in fashion like they are today, but just because people were like just living in their jeans, one pair of jeans, day in, day out, until they dived into the sea for it to be washed, and then they just carry on. But when we got saved, we were welcomed. We weren't told, oh, you must take this off, and you must take that off, and when you come into the house of God, you must do this. And we didn't have that that experience. But maybe tonight you've had that experience. And I was told, and I was horrified after my wonderfully welcoming and warm experience of church, so much so welcome that I have never left the church. Because I felt this is home for me, wherever it was that we've passed it eventually in the ministry. But this is what we were told. There were mantellas at the entrance so that if the ladies walked in, it's like a doily. Yeah, you must put this on. It was like this legalistic thing where you weren't explained to what that was until we learned what it was, that it was in the word, but it was actually a cultural custom of the day. Okay, so that was it. So what people did was they made this thing. You walked like into a brick wall of law. Not my experience, but I have heard stories. Or your skirt was too short and they had tape measures to measure how far. Don't laugh. This is how damaging we can make the house of God. Okay? May it never ever happen again. Or you came in and it was sleeveless and you were told, here's a little something, put it over you and cover you up. Then when we came to this house in 1992, I was slightly put off by something that existed in a very similar vein here that we had a hard time trying to fix because of our welcome, because of how we experienced home, because we discovered that home is where love lives. Not that we put up with people's rebellion or nonsense, but we understood that, you know, the tots can come in, okay? Like they say in the Cape, the rookers can come in. Do you know what that is? The scollies with their then tattoos. You know, what I'm trying to say is there is no prerequisite to a house where love lives as to who is allowed in or not. Amen? And I'm not downplaying the culture of that day. I'm just saying I am so grateful to God that I escaped that legalism where I walked in with my then husband, whose hair was down here, and we were into our whatever we were into then with our Eastern religions and stuff, but we were just sucked in with love and welcome. And that is why wherever we've gone to pastor, and we've pastored this house for 26 years now, we believe that what we're seeing is a result of our revelation that where the house of God is, the living God, there has to be a warm welcome. Not like, you know, I remember, sorry, I'm deviating a little bit, but I think it's by the Spirit of God. I remember when I was at work, I would say it was probably, early 90s. We arrived in 92. So it could have been between 93 and 95. I remember seeing a security guard come in with his vehicle. We didn't have the fences and things that we have today. And I happened to be in the foyer of our now building, of our reception, and I saw the security guard come towards the door. We let him in. We had our security thingy, but we felt safe because he was a security guard, and he really was. And I thought, oh, I hope nothing's wrong. And he said, he comes in, and we said, hi, how can we help you? These were his words. I'll never forget it. Will I be welcome here on Sunday? I can't explain to you what a kiss from God that was for me. Because I know what it feels like to be made welcome. I looked out for him. I never saw him again. He may have been there. In fact, he might still be here for all I know. But that is because love must live here. Amen? And that is how I believe the Lord wants us to experience his home. In a natural home, many homes are devoid of love. Sadly, it is sometimes an unhappy place for people. We are not ignorant of the stories that even we listen to, the testimonies of people within the house. Many good kids have run away from home because they couldn't take it anymore and got themselves into trouble. By the way, not everyone who runs away from home are naughty kids. We even had our, remember our first story of the year on the screen where Caitlin ran away from home? She was a good kid in the story. She just couldn't take the screaming and the abuse of what she was going through. But she was a good kid. And that's how good people get themselves into trouble. You may be a person like that tonight. But you know, when we make ourselves at home in God's love, things really begin to change. We are blessed when we make ourselves at home in God's love and His house and all it stands for. In Psalm 84, verses 4 to 5, it says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." Selah. Think about that alone is amazing. "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage." You know, we make ourselves at home in God's worship. If you have a problem with worship, you need to make yourself at home in God's love. Then you'll make yourself at home in His worship. Because it's not an opportunity for us to criticize the type of song it is, the volume it is necessarily, but who it's for, what it's about. It's pinned to praise God, to ever praise Him. Amen? And then it says, "Blessed are those whose hearts are on pilgrimage." You know, keep yourself at home on the journey. Pilgrimage speaks of you are going somewhere. Don't go off track. Stay on track. Stay on the journey. And continue, keep going. You know what I've got here in my notes about worship? Worship is a sound that makes hell sick. Worship is a sound that hell cannot stand. And if you and I can just grasp that, if we make ourselves at home in God's love and in His worship, we will do it with all our might because we show up the enemy for who he is. Amen. Second thought is, home is where I can bring my burdens and lay it down. That's what home is for. A natural home is very similar. Oh, you want to run home to mom or dad if you don't even stay at home anymore, just to go and share the troubles that you are facing. In Matthew 11, 28, our Heavenly Father says, "Come to me, all who are tired of carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Place my yoke over your shoulders and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and then you will find rest for yourselves, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know what the Lord is saying? He's saying, you know what? I want you to bring all the things that are weighing you down, all the luggage and the baggage of your life, all that it represents. We have an invitation. Why does it say, "Come to me, come home to me"? Come home and make yourself at home in my love with all your stuff. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it represents, come on, you're heavy laden and you are burdened and you need to bring this stuff to me and put it down, okay? We come with mega baggage. We do, all of us. We carry hurt. You know, someone stole your husband or your boyfriend. It wounds you. It's a wound in your soul. Someone stood in way of your promotion. It's hard. It's hardship for you. I've got in your notes, you can fill it in and you can add anything that I may have left out. Your baggage represents betrayal. You can photograph it if you like. Abuse. It represents anger. Betrayal, abuse, anger, prejudice. Sometimes we don't even know we're prejudiced. We don't know that there's certain people that we don't like. Why don't we like them? Because we have prejudice. It weighs us down. it stops us running the race. We can't run the race when we've got stuff like this. Run the race with perseverance. This is what the Bible teaches us. Stay on track. Stay going. Keep running until you have your crown and you have your prize. But the thing is, we slow ourselves down and we take one step at a time and then we sit down with our stuff and we rest while everyone else is running past us. And we wonder why some people are growing and being promoted and doing things around church. Who do they think they are? No, they've just taken the stuff and they've brought it because they've been weary and heavy laden and they've put it down and given it over to the Lord. Hatred, abandonment, divorce, unforgiveness, bitterness, abortions, affairs, laziness, theft, lies, self-hatred, eating disorders, issues, and selfishness. You know what the Lord is saying? Point number three, learn who I am, and you will learn who you are. You know what I have learned? The lesson my Father has taught me. When I came to Him broken, hurt, wounded, completely lost in my sin, not knowing what is right, not knowing certain things you know because they're boundaries you are taught as a child, but not knowing much, bringing stuff to the Lord, I learned that when I understand who He is, I will understand who I am because I'll discover who He wants me to be. Amen? Dr. Paula said that on Sunday when she preached in the one service. She said, if you know who God is, amen, you will do so much better on this journey of life. Amen? God is the lifter of our heads. He's not like those people who give you a horrible supposed welcome, measuring how short your skirt is, seeing if your arms are bare, or if you have a dookie on your head when you come into the house of God. No, He just takes you for who you are, and He lifts your head. He lifts your head. Like, what is He saying? He's saying, stop walking with your face down to the ground like the woman who was bowed over like this, looking at the dirt. Amen. Straighten up. Amen. Walk tall. Lift up your head. I know who you are. And I know who you're going to be. Amen. You know, He's going to allow us to wallow for a bit. He is. Because that happens when you get saved. You are so broken. You are so relieved. You have found such joy. You have such a revelation of God's love. Amen. But He's not going to allow us to wallow in our self-pity and burdens forever. Amen. A house is not only a safe place where we can come and have a shoulder to cry on. It is a house of celebration. It is a house of joy. In the presence of the Lord, there's joy, we are taught. Amen. And so it's also where we praise God and we live through seasons of life. This house and every other local church, every house of God, is a place of seasons. You see kids grow up. You see them go to high school. You see them engaged. You see them married. You see them have babies. Seasons of life. It's a place where people are, things are going well, and then they go through trouble, and they have a dip, and then they come through, and then things are going even better. People are unwell. They have operations. They have, God heals them. They keep going. They keep running the race. Amen. And I want to just encourage all of us to not be people who are constantly at pastoral care. Can I encourage you? Pastoral care is fantastic. We believe in it. We have a department dedicated to it. We have trained our pastors as we have been trained. But you know, there's a time we've got to listen to what Jesus says. He says, come unto me if you are weary and heavy laden with stuff. And I will give you rest. Amen? Let's not go and circle that same mountain of trouble and burdens year after year after year after year. The reason we do it, it's not that we don't have those issues or problems, it's because we've taken back, we've picked this up, we actually like it. We like it. But God says, you know, I don't like it for you. I want you to be free from this. I want you to run. Psalm 30:11-12, speaking of people who are going to wallow and mourn all the time, it says, you did it. You changed wild lament into whirling dance. You ripped off my black mourning band and decked me with wild flowers. I'm about to burst with song. I can't keep quiet about you, God, my God. I can't thank you enough. Amen. Because God is not only the lifter of our heads, but he's the giver of life and of hope. And we've got to forge ahead and forward in our new life, our life where the burdens have been lifted. We will accumulate new ones along the way, trust me, but we've got to continuously know where to go, amen? Where love lives, where there's a shoulder for us to cry on, but for us to again put the burdens down, put the baggage down, and keep moving, amen? God sees what we can be. Our future is in his hands. He's a provider. And we learn that we are loved and we're the apple of his eye. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not saying there's a scoreboard where we've got to tick all the little marks and then we're the apple of his eye. Because he loves us so much. Amen. He gave his life for us. What does that say? That says we are someone. We belong. Amen. We're important. Even if people have told you, you're not. You are important. But we've got to learn his standards and his precepts. We can't just take all the good stuff and forget about what he actually says in those verses. He says, learn because you have a part to play. What I'm giving you is not just for you. It's to pass on for others. Amen? It's like a domino effect. It's got a knock-on effect. We've got to learn that what God does for us is there's a purpose and there's a meaning in it. And we've got to touch lives and we've got to make sure that we don't live in this little world of ours or in this thing that we've created to be our home. Our home is to have its doors wide open. Our hearts have to have its doors wide open. Amen. And so number four, we have much to unlearn as we learn from our Father. Boy, I had to unlearn so many things. Last month, I told you how the world tries to squeeze us into its mold. Do you remember that? We have a certain way of thinking, but you know, we've got to have a new way of thinking. We've got a different set of rules, if you could call it that, amen, as Bob Dylan sings. You know, we grow up with fairy tales. I don't know in your culture, but you know, it's fun and it's lovely and you know, some of those things remain with us and they're not good things because, you know, bedtime stories for me personally with my kids were better that they got the word in before they went to sleep. Not telling stories, sorry if you do this, that Cinderella is the beautiful sister and we must then believe that we are the ugly sisters. Do you know, fairy tales have a way of saying, there once lived a beautiful princess. And then the story goes on and it's got twists and turns, but then comes this handsome prince. And we are taught from a young age what beautiful and what handsome is. And we decide from a young age, especially if we have five brothers, that I'm not beautiful, right? Where with Cinderella's story, she had this tiny little foot that slipped into the glass slipper. And my brother had a way of telling me how humongous my feet were for a girl. Now, that's very, very funny. And I've spoken about it before, but it settles in your psyche. It settles in your soul. And then I went to school And all my friends were the size of Mo Ning. I somehow always managed to have friends who were these tiny little people with size 3 feet. And then I married a man who produced shoes, and then I discovered this is a very average size, size 8. One day, a 14-year-old girl came in and asked if we made size 9 shoes. I can't tell you what a day that was for me. But the point I'm trying to make is we hear these fairy stories, and it sounds very innocent, and it's fun, and you know, Frozen, and all, and we all buy into it. I bought Chloe all the Frozen things and all of that stuff. But this is my point. We've got to unlearn some things, because Cinderella is beautiful. Sleeping Beauty is beautiful. Snow White is more beautiful than her stepmother, and that's the cause of all the problems. We have a mirror here. Mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest in my office? In my department? In my division? You see, we fall for the trap. And everything helps us fall deeper into the trap. Sorry, girls, but the selfies as well. And it's fun. And every now and again, we want to be silly and we do the... You know, it's fun. But the reality is, it messes with us to the point where we do not see ourselves as we ought to see ourselves. Amen? It makes us believe that only fairy tale non-existent princesses are beautiful. It becomes an obsession and it turns into self-hatred. Yet the Word of God teaches us to measure ourselves in a very different way. That is why for the daughters of this house for nearly 2 decades, I have endeavored to tell you that you are beautiful, because you're not measured by Hollywood or by Elle magazine or by Vogue magazine or the editorials when you turn on Instagram, right? You are measured by what God says about you. I've endeavored to tell you for decades nearly, you know, and to pass this lesson that I've learned for myself onto you. And I'm so tired of the verse, but I'll quote it for you. Psalm 139:14, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I've been telling you to celebrate womanhood, to see yourself through God's eyes, not through the eyes of a mean brother or even a mean sister, amen? Or a colleague or a boss. Someone who tells you, you, the bottom of the rung. Don't listen to those voices, amen? I would go as far as to say, worship so hard when you hear those kind of things told you, that you make the enemy sick, that you make hell sick with your worship and adoration. Because when you worship God, it beautifies you. You become beautiful in His presence. I have a confession to make. I love watching people worship. I love watching the daughters because they worship differently to the men. There's just something so beautiful about you, daughter of God, when you worship God. Abandon yourself. Amen. Let the wild flowers be put in your hair. Let God rip off that black mourning cloth from you. Amen. You are to walk tall, and you are to remember that you are not the princess daughter of a king. You are the princess daughter of the one and only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? We saw on the t-shirts tonight, girls, do not only want to have fun. I've never liked that song by Cyndi Lauper. Girls just want to have fun. It's an insult. I've never agreed with it. I don't just want to have fun. Amen? And we do want to eat the donuts, and we do want to do the selfies, and we do want to laugh, and we do want to be silly and have a girls' night out and watch a chick flicks, and we do want to have fun, but that's not all we want. Amen? We want to please God. We want to walk in purpose. We want to be different. Isn't that the truth? Number five, God is preparing us for a different kingdom. God is preparing us for a different kingdom. You know, there were these Pharisees that came and argued. They really, really used to give Jesus a hard time, didn't they? And they would like mess with him and ask him difficult questions, and they tried to trap him. And in John 8, verse 23, Jesus just has this perfect answer for them. And it just, it's so rich, this verse. I mean, you could preach a whole message on this. And Jesus continued, and he said this to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You belong to this world. I do not." I want to say to you, beautiful woman of God, that has to be not the way it was in the context said here, but you've got to remind yourself, I am from above. I am not from below. I am my Father's daughter. I have to be different. I have to think different. My speak must change. My behavior must change. Amen. Because I am from above. I am not from below. So when we learn from our Father, because he says, bring your stuff to me so that I can teach you. You want to learn from him. Amen. You must recognize, all of us, that we must be reshaped into the image of Jesus. The word says we must be shaped into the image of God's dear Son, whom he loves. And that's who we are. Amen. We are the daughters that he loves. Let's not be daughters who are looking for loopholes all the time. Let's be people of the word. You know, lots of times, if you just read the word, the answers will be there for you. You know, I'm saying this cautiously because I don't want you to not have a warm welcome here tonight. I don't want you to think this is not where love lives. Love lives too in a house where there are boundaries, where there's discipline, where the truth is told. Amen. And I want to tell you, thank you. Let me take a moment to sip my water. Where is it? I want to tell you, in the verses that I have quoted to you, and I haven't stressed it, but I cannot avoid it, it tells us that if we make ourselves at home in God's love, we ought to obey his commands. Amen? It says here, if you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. And then when it speaks about, you know, I will give you rest when you bring your heavy loads. It says, place my yoke over your shoulders. That means there's going to be some work involved, but it's not going to be as heavy as you think it is. There's going to be purpose. There's going to be carrying of responsibility. Amen. It says, and learn from me because I am gentle and humble. He's not a God who will crack the whip and try and make us feel bad about doing something wrong. He wants to guide us and teach us, and we want to learn from him. Amen. Just want to encourage you. You know, last week, Pastor Andre preached a very powerful word, and he spoke about, you know, how we need to be above average. We're not called to be average. We are not your average variety. We are above average because our God is above average. Amen. He is above all. And it doesn't just happen, girls. We can't just listen to a word like that and say, I'm going to be above average, and not apply what the word tells us to do. Amen? This happens when you become above average, as a person, as a woman, as a daughter of God. It's when you are surrendered and when you obey the word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are they? Read them. Get close to him. Amen. Snuggle up to God with his word and learn what his words are. They bring life to you. Amen. And to me. And so often, you know, people want the best of both worlds. We can't take the road of least resistance, the path of least resistance. We've got to resist, amen, the things that come against us, that tempt us. We can't just go with the flow. Oh, well, he was very good looking. I've never had a man like that that gave me such a look, those eyes. And come here so I can do what Pastor Andre often says, that I can give you a hiding. Don't. Amen. Revelation 3:15 is a scripture that he quoted. It says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. John 15:10, I've quoted it already, but let's just reinforce what I'm saying. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. If you are teachable and obedient, you will remain at home in God's love. Amen. Anonymous quote that I threw in here, it says, come on in. My commands are the walls and roof that protect you. My compassion will prepare you to love those around you, and my grace is the place of deep soul rest for you to be recharged and refreshed in. Come on in and make yourself at home here. Amen. This is what God is saying. This is what the church is saying. This is where you're going to learn. You're going to make yourself at home in God's love, and you're going to learn it's not as difficult as you thought. Let these words never come out of your mouth. Oh, but it's so hard. Come here so that I can give you a hiding. What do you think I'm made of? It's just a choice that you make. The measure of your love for Jesus. Amen. It's the growing up. It's the stop this nonsense stuff that all of us have to say to ourselves. Amen. Last month, I shared about lost and found, and I briefly touched on the lost son. And you know, the story ends. It's a beautiful ending because he comes home and his father runs towards him, and his father gives him the robe, the sandals, and the ring, and gets a whole banquet going, and you know, there was celebration. Amen. So where am I? I don't know where that fitted in, but I'm going to give you point number 6 and then I'll come back to that, okay? Because I see my time is running out. Daughters cannot have high standards. Here's my point. Daughters cannot have high standards with poor choices. Sorry, it's just the way I've broken up my page. Okay, daughters cannot have high standards with poor choices. So in other words, to make ourselves at home in God's love is to obey his commands and not do our own thing. Because a natural kitchen, a natural home, where you have a kitchen and, you know, your daughter says, Mom, tonight I'm going to make your recipe of be it biryani, of be it lasagna, of be it the fat cook, like all the cultures, I'm just trying to, chakalaka, pap, I'm going to make your recipe. You go and put your feet up and I'll make it. But you know what? You can't concoct your own recipe and call it Mom's recipe. Amen. You can't do that, because when you put it on the table, the family will be upset and they'll say, what did you put in here? Hello? It says, Mom's, what's wrong with you? Amen. It's the same year the prodigal came home to his father's love after rejecting his father's love and concocting a new recipe for his life. And we can't concoct a new recipe for our lives. We've got to do it the Father's recipe way. Amen? Otherwise, we'll end up at the pigs. Isn't that the truth? And we don't want to end up there. If we have high standards and make good choices, we will be at home in his love. We will reach great heights. And we can't have it both ways, girls. It is one or the other. Have I helped you tonight? Yes. Amen. Can I encourage you to take your baggage, put it at his feet, do not pick it up again, and keep running this race with perseverance. Make yourself at home in God's love, in his local church. Amen. 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 And belong. Just say to yourself, I do belong. It doesn't matter what's going on there with that stuff. God is the lifter of my head. Amen. And I'm not going to concoct a new recipe like the prodigal son. I'm going to do things his way. The nice thing about the prodigal son is, although he concocted that recipe, he was welcomed back. And the father lifted his head up once more and received him and said, welcome home. Amen. Your action tonight, I will be the daughter who makes herself at home in his love and be teachable and obedient.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.